As I studied this theme of running in the Bible, I found at least 8 different instances in the Bible, probably more than that, I'm sure there is, but I found 8 specific instances in the Bible where it specifically speaks of people running to see Jesus. Running to see Jesus. In some cases, they came running and looking for Jesus, the one that they had just heard so much about, and they wanted to see Him. They heard about His power. They heard of His reputation and His ability to perform miracles, and so they wanted to see Him. In some cases, they wanted to run and touch Him. They wanted to be a part of a miracle, and that's a good desire as well. In some cases, people ran because they wanted to worship Jesus. They just wanted to run to worship Him. In some cases, people ran to get to Jesus because they believed that He could help someone else that they loved. They said, if we get to Jesus, we can bring Jesus and Jesus can help someone. He can help my servant or He can help my son. They ran because they believed that Jesus was the one that could help. In some cases, people ran to Jesus because they were seeking salvation and they knew that He would have the answer. I want to share with you this morning 3 stories in the Bible where we see people running to Jesus. And I want to encourage you to also run to Jesus because He is the one who can meet any need that you have in your life. Luke chapter 19 is where we're going to read here this morning. I want to, before doing that, read to you one verse in Mark chapter 10 verse 17. It says this, "And when He was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to Him and asked Him, 'Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?'" What a great verse. One came running and kneeled to Him and asked Him, "Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" That's speaking of the rich young ruler. He ran to Jesus because he wanted to know how to have eternal life. I'm going to tell you this morning. Number one, run to the one who can save your soul. Run to the one who can save your soul. And by the one, I do mean one. O-N-E, one. There's only one way. Jesus said that plainly in John 14:6. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There's one way to heaven. There's one way of salvation. That is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in Luke chapter 19 and verse 1. Let's read another story. I read you that verse of the rich young ruler. He ran to Jesus and kneeled and wanted to know how to inherit eternal life. The Bible gives us an interesting story here in Luke 19 and verse 1. It says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich." So he was a religious man. He wasn't a saved man, but he was a religious man. He was a wealthy man. Now, he wasn't going to get to heaven because he was religious. He wasn't going to get to heaven because he was wealthy. Look what it says in verse 3. "And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way." Several years ago, when BJ was just a little boy and we were living at our home over in Maple, there was a lot of times where we would act out Bible stories with him, and he just took that upon himself. Sometimes he would listen to Bible stories on tape and so on, and we would many times act out the story of Zacchaeus together. And he would be up the stairs, and he'd be looking down from the stairs like as if he was up in a tree, and we'd be quoting it together. And I would be Jesus in the story. That was the best he had to use. And I'd be passing by, and I would look up into the tree, and I'd look up the stairs, you know, and I'd see BJ there. And we would act out this story together. It says verse 5, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today I must abide at thy house.'" And I'd look up and "Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm going to your house today." It says in verse 6, "And he made haste and came down," and BJ would quickly come down those stairs, and we'd go off and to eat together. You know, that's what you do when you go to the house and so on. "And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, 'That he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner.' And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And sometimes people use that word seeker, and you know, people are seekers. Some people are seeking for the Lord. The truth is, the greatest seeker ever is that the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is seeking for more people than really what are seeking for Him. Jesus Christ came into the world to seek and to save the lost. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Jesus is seeking for you. He's looking for you. He wants to save your soul. He wants you to be born again. He wants you to have eternal life. And I encourage you, like the rich young ruler who came questioning, Jesus, I want eternal life. Like this man Zacchaeus who came to Jesus and Jesus brought to him salvation. I want you to run to Jesus because Jesus is the one that can save your soul. It doesn't matter what your past is, what your background is, no matter how much sin you've done in your life, there is no one that Jesus cannot save. There is no sin that you've committed that is just so wrong that Jesus cannot save you. He saves to the uttermost. He died on the cross to save all men and to save all sinners. And I'm glad that includes me. That includes you. We can be born again. We can be saved. We can have eternal life if you'll run to Jesus Christ. You need to admit that you're a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sometimes we get a higher opinion of ourselves than what we really should. All of us are sinners. We really got two kinds of people in the world. Sinners and sinners saved by the grace of God. All of us can be saved by God's grace and by God's mercy if we will put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. God loved us so much that He sent Jesus down from heaven to earth to dwell among sinful men, live among sinful men, yet He never sinned. The Bible says He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He was there in human flesh. He faced temptation from the devil in the wilderness. But He never sinned. He never did wrong. Because He knew He was going to the cross of Calvary. He knew, just as the Old Testament God pictured with the Jews and the perfect sacrifice that was required, Jesus was to come and to be the sacrificial lamb. Jesus was to be the perfect sacrifice. He wouldn't be perfect if He sinned. He was the perfect, sinless Son of God, and He died on the cross to be the sacrifice for our sins, to take the punishment for our sins. It'd be like having some children, and one of the children's going to get in trouble, and the older brother steps in and says, Mom, Dad, I know they're going to get punished. I know they did wrong. Let me take the punishment instead. Boy, sister would be excited. BJ, you're going to take the punishment for me? Wow, you sure do love me. That would never happen, would it, Ashley? No. But hey, here's what Jesus Christ did for us. Hey, our big brother, if you will, the only begotten Son of God, and we can become children of God, become a part of His family. Hey, the older brother, if you will, the only begotten Son of God, He came down, He died on the cross, He took our punishment so that you and I could be saved. We can be forgiven of our sin, we can have eternal life. Again, if we'll by faith believe in Jesus Christ and trust Him as our personal Savior, our sins can be forgiven. We can become a child of God. We can have a home in heaven. Can I encourage you this morning? Run to the One who can save your soul. We can try a lot of other things. We can be brought up in religion. We can try good works to save ourselves. We're not saved by our good works. The Bible tells us this in the book of John, chapter number 1, verse 12. It says, But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. We're saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. It says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The way to be born again is of God. Born of the Spirit of God. Forgiven of our sins. We can't be born again or be saved by our good works. We're not saved by turning over a new leaf. By trying to make ourselves into something new or something better. It's God that can make us something better. At my best, I'd still be a sinner. That's why we all need the forgiveness that comes only from God. We need the salvation that is offered only by the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to run to Him. Run to Him. He's the One that can save your soul. Run to the One who can save your soul. Here's number two this morning. Run to the One who will show compassion and meet your needs. Run to the one who will show compassion and meet your needs. Look with me at Mark chapter 6. The Gospel of Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, and we're going to begin reading there in verse number 33. I said, number one this morning, we need to run to the one who can save our soul. Run to the one who can save your soul. Number two, run to the one who will show compassion and meet your needs. We see that here in this story. Mark chapter 6 and verse 33. And the people saw them departing, and many knew them, and ran afoot. They ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were a sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Jesus loved them. Jesus was in a physical body, and so he would become weary and tired, just like any man would. We go back to verse 31 and notice what he had said. And he said unto them, talking about his disciples, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. He knew they needed rest. They were tired. They had been ministering. They had been serving people. For there were many coming and going, people constantly wanting their help and wanting to hear his teaching and so on. They hadn't even had a chance to eat, the Bible says there in that verse. So they were tired and they were weary. But even though Jesus was tired, even though he was weary, when more groups of people ran to Jesus because they needed help, Jesus said, oh, I don't got time for them. I'm too busy for them. Some other time. No, he looked at them and had compassion on them and said, they're a sheep having no shepherd. And he showed compassion to them and loved them and helped them and tried to meet their needs, their spiritual needs and even their physical needs, we'll see. Notice again the story, verse 35, and when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Before it was past, Jesus knew they already needed rest. They already needed to eat. But now it went on for who knows how many more hours. Now they were dead tired, as we might say, and ready to eat and wanting to get away. The disciples were, let's get out of here. Let's get out of here. But notice what it says. The disciples said, send them away. Send all the crowds away. Send all the people away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. Well, why don't we give them something to eat? Why don't you give them something to eat, he said. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. 5 barley loaves, 2 fishes, and he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. Jesus was always very organized, doing things decently and in order. Okay, and then verse 41, and when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all, and they did all eat and were all filled. Jesus performed a miracle that day to feed all the thousands of people that were there. It says verse 43, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes, and they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. There's thousands of people. 5,000 men, women, and children that would have been gathered there. Thousands of people. Maybe 20,000 people. A lot of people. And Jesus fed them there that day. The disciples, what had they wanted to do? We're all tired. We've given ourselves so much. It's time to rest. Send everybody away. But Jesus looked on them and saw their need. Jesus knew that they'd be hungry too. Jesus saw the needs that they had. He tried to minister by teaching them, speaking to them, and preaching, help their spiritual needs. But now when he saw their physical needs as well, he showed compassion to try to help them. We need to run to the one who will show compassion and meet your needs. I hope you won't ever believe the lies of the devil to think that God, well, he just doesn't care about me. He doesn't care about me. You know, God's Word doesn't necessarily promise to make everyone wealthy, although he can make wealthy. He can give us the power to earn wealth and get wealth. But he does promise, if you're a child of God, that He will take care of your need. Book of Psalms, the psalmist said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or see begging bread. God will take care of your needs. God will show compassion. And you need to run to Him. So often we can run to others for help, and there may be a time and a place for that, but boy, we need to run to God in prayer. If we're needy, run to Him and, God, I have these needs. God, I need You to meet these needs. God, I'm doing the best I can, and hopefully this will be a true statement, but God, I'm trying to do the best I can to live for You. God, I'm trying to do the best I can to, as I know how, to obey Your word and follow You and live for You. And God, I'm trying to do right, and I want to rear my family right, and I'm trying to please You, God, in the things that I do. God, I need You to take care of my needs. You run to Him. Run to the One that has compassion. Run to the One that can meet your needs. Run to the One who can save your soul. Third thing this morning I want to share with you is this. Run to the One who has resurrection power. Run to the One who has resurrection power. Turn with me to the Gospel of John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And we're first going to look at this story in John. And then we're going to look at a bit more of it in the Gospel of Luke as well. But let's start here. John chapter 20, if you would, please. John chapter 20. Running to Jesus. Running to Jesus. We need to run to the One who can save your soul. Run to the One who will show compassion and meet your needs. Run to the One who has resurrection power. In John chapter 20, in verse number 1, it says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, under the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid Him. Therefore Peter went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and first came to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple who came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed." And he saw and believed. Look back with me over at Luke chapter 24, if you would. Luke 24, we see in that recording of the story, Mary Magdalene running, Simon Peter running, John running to see the empty tomb, running to see Jesus. In Luke chapter 24, beginning there in verse number 1, Luke 24 and verse 1, it says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, and bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, the Mary of and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre." Notice verse number 13. "Behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. They talked together of all these things which had happened. It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were not holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another? as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass here in there in these days? And they said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but they saw him not. And he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The Bible talks of them. They spent the time together. They drew near together. Christ, they constrained him, saying in verse 29, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Hey, they were running to see Jesus, but let me tell you something. They didn't find him there in the tomb. They found an empty tomb. The Lord was risen. The angel said to them, Why come ye seeking the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen, just like he said he would. In our lives, we need to run to the one who has resurrection power, because that resurrection power can make a difference in our lives as well. Keep reading there. Luke 24, verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. They were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, Why are ye troubled and why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold, my hands and my feet. And that it is I myself, handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. And when he thus spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. He still had the form of flesh. Can you imagine those nail-scarred hands? Those nail-scarred feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish and of an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all these things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Jesus Christ did what had just been foretold. The prophets talked about it. The book of Psalms talks about it, some of the early Psalms. Now, it was told that Jesus Christ would die. It was told how he would suffer. It was told how he would die. It was told that he would be numbered with the transgressors, and we can imagine those other criminals that hung on the crosses on each side of him. It was told that he would be pierced in the side. Many of these things were foretold, Jesus Christ had even tried to tell them himself that this body, this temple, would be destroyed and resurrected and brought to life again the third day. Jesus Christ has resurrection power. I ask you this morning, is there something dead in your life? Is there something dead in your life? Is it a marriage that seems like it's dead today? Is your financial situation, does it seem like it's dead? It's a mess, it's in trouble. Is it maybe a relationship with a child, a relationship with a wayward child? Is it just something that doesn't seem good today? Maybe is it your walk with God? Your relationship with God. Oh, yes, you would say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. I trusted Christ years ago. I know that I'm saved. But how's your relationship with God? How's your walk with God? Do you commune with Him? Do you spend time with Him? Do you spend time in prayer? Do you spend time in the Word of God? Do you spend time reading the Bible and thinking about Christ and meditating on Christ and meditating on His Word? How's your walk with God? How's your relationship with God, Christian? Is there a time when it was alive and it was exciting and so on, but now it's, you'd say, it's kind of closer to dead than it is alive. My walk with God's not very good right now, and maybe it's kind of dead. You know what? Christ is resurrection power. Is it your concern for the lost that has kind of gotten dead? Maybe there was a time when you cared for souls and loved lost sinners and you wanted to see them saved, and you'd maybe give them a gospel tract, or you'd witness to them, or you'd try to speak to them about Christ, and you really had a concern or a care in your heart or in your soul for the lost, but you would say, honestly, that's just, it's not there anymore. It's kind of gone right now. It's kind of been dying, and my concern and my love for the lost, I'd have to admit, it's kind of dead. Is there something dead in your life? Is your concern for the lost dead? Is your walk with God, is it kind of dead or dying? Is there some relationship in your life dead or dying? Is you have a marriage that it just seems like it's dead or dying, and you're ready to give up and you think it's over with, it's done with, there's no hope? Is it your finances that you think they're a mess, they're in trouble? I don't know what I'm going to do. Believe in the One who has power to resurrect whatever is dead in your life. Believe in Him. Trust Him. The disciples, we read of how they did finally believe in Him. He showed Himself. See my hands? See my feet? I'm alive, just like was told. And He had to show them His resurrection power. Listen, we need to believe in Him. Trust Him. Follow Him. Run after Jesus Christ. Pursue Him. Get to know Him. The Apostle Paul wanted to know Him and the power of His resurrection, Philippians says. Will you obey His Word? Will you obey His commandments? Will you do what He's told you to do? Listen, He's the One who has the power to resurrect whatever may be dead in your life. You think, I've got something that's dead. The only hope for it is going to be in Christ. We have no other hope on our own except for the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever it is that's a mess today in your life, whatever it is that seems dead in your life today, Christ is the only one that can fix it. He's the only one that can take that which is dead and bring it back to life. Your relationship, your marriage, your finances, your work, your anything. Relationship with people, your relationship with God, your walk with God, your spiritual life, your Christian life. Maybe you feel like, I'm just kind of going through the motions. Christ has resurrection power. We ought to run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Run to the One who can save your soul. This morning, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, boy, I long for you to be saved. I want you to be saved. I probably prayed for you to be saved. Christ in heaven is looking for you and wanting you to be saved. Run to Him and believe on Him and trust Him as your personal Savior. You can be born again, have your sins forgiven. You can have assurance that your name is written down in heaven. You have a home in heaven for all eternity. You'll trust the Lord Jesus Christ. We turn from religion, we turn from our works, we turn from anything else that we may be trusting in to take us to heaven. We trust in Jesus Christ alone. We acknowledge our sin, admit our sinfulness, and that we're lost and we have no hope without Christ. You turn to Him, He can be saved. He's got the power to save you. Run to the One who can save your soul. Number two, run to the One who will show compassion to meet your needs. You're needy in your life. You're needy in your life. You got needs financially, you got needs spiritually, you got needs emotionally, you got needs physically. Hey, whatever it is, run to Him. He will have compassion. He's not just some big God up there who sits on the throne and He doesn't care about you. No, He listens to the prayers of His people. He hears the prayers of the righteous. He cares about you and your needs and your emotional needs, your physical needs. God made you. God knows that we're emotional. God knows all that goes on in our life. God knows our struggles and our burdens and our cares and our worries, all the troubles that we have, and He cares about you. He need to run to Him in prayer and seek His help and seek His divine intervention, seek His power in your life to help meet the needs that you have. Run to the One who can save your soul. Run to the One who can show compassion and meet your needs. Run to the One who has resurrection power. Last thing I want to share with you this morning is this. Knowing what He can do for you and knowing that He can also do it for others. Here's number four this morning. We should run to tell others of His resurrection power. Since we know what Christ can do for us and what Christ can do for others, we should run to tell others of His resurrection power. If you hold your place in Luke 24, we will come back there. But I want to read to you as well Matthew 28 and verse number 1. It says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy and did run to bring his disciples word. They went quickly. They were told to go quickly. They did go quickly. They ran to bring word to others about Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Back over in Luke 24 and verse number 46. Notice what it says here, Luke 24 and verse 46. It's now Jesus speaking. The angel had told them, you go and tell them Jesus is going to see you out there. You go see him. You go see him. Notice what it says. This is towards the very end. Jesus said unto them, verse 46, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. You know, we look in Acts chapter 1, see a similar account. And you know what? God gave a promise of power. God gave the promise of His Spirit, that they would have His Spirit with them and have His power. But God wanted them to go and to preach. God wanted them to go and tell others. Hey, Jesus Christ, He died and He was buried, but He rose again. God, Corinthians 15 tells us that's the gospel. That's how a person can be saved. And boy, others need to know that as well. Others need to know of His resurrection power. Others need to know of His saving power. Others need to know of His life-changing power. Others need to know of His compassion and His love and how He can meet their needs in life as well. In Mark 16, 19 and 20, it tells us what happened next. It says, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Jesus wanted them to go. Jesus wanted them to be His witnesses. And they did go. They ran. They ran. They went everywhere, telling everybody they could. It doesn't happen on accident. It happens because some people on purpose, they came to Jesus. They ran to Jesus in their life. They learned what He could do. They learned of His saving power. They sensed His compassion. They felt His love. They received of Him. Boy, and then when they had opportunity and even the commandment of Christ, they went forth and preached, and the Lord working with them, they ran to tell others of His resurrection power. When the maniac of Gadara met Jesus and got saved in Mark chapter 5, afterwards Jesus said this to him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Boy, doesn't it just make sense that if Jesus has saved us, that we'd want to run and tell others? Doesn't it make sense if we've, you know, learned of God's grace and God's love, and we've known what He can do in a person's life and how He can save and how He can help and the difference He can make, that we'd want to go and tell others? And that is what He wants. That is His desire. And I encourage you with these thoughts this morning, run to the One who can save your soul. You may be here this morning and you need to be saved. You need to be born again. I hope you'll not put that off, but make that decision so soon. We never know when we're going to breathe our last breath or step into eternity. Run to the One who can save your soul. Number two, run to the One who will show compassion and meet your needs. Run to Him. Call out to Him. Cry on Him. He can meet your needs. Number three, run to the One who has resurrection power. Whatever it is that may be dead in your life, a marriage, a relationship, your spiritual life, your walk with God, your love for the lost, whatever it is that's dead, He's the only One that can fix it. He can bring resurrection power and bring life to that which is dead. And then knowing what He can do, we should run to tell others of His resurrection power.